1. Begin transmission.
Oh yes, if you're hearing that, you know that it's 1930 UTC. And that means it's time for another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committee, and I'm sitting in my car just outside the secret mushroom grounds. So let's get out of the car and see if we can find anything interesting today in one of these last days we're going to be able to go outside. Well, it is a bit chilly out here. It's sunny, but it's only about 40 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in Celsius. Probably around 5 degrees C or thereabouts. Well, it's a little bit windy out here. I didn't think it was this windy. It wasn't windy at my house, but you know, we're in the Papio Valley, and I think the wind is blowing from north to south, so we might have some wind noise today, for which I apologize in advance profusely. Whew. Yeah, and the wind is making things a little bit cooler than I think I can really handle. What are we going to do? I'm already walking along the path here. I guess we'll see how far we can go before it gets too cold. Jeez, I think one of the problems is maybe I can't see the wind anymore because all the leaves are dropping out of the trees. But jeez, I don't think it was windy at my house. Hey. And it's about 12:15, noon 15 local time. The sun is not very high in the sky. All right, so crossing over this little footbridge. I don't see anything going on around here. I have a feeling we're well past mushroom season. So, I guess technically we're looking for dudes today. What dudes are we going to find? I don't know. Hopefully there'll be a mott up here. We're just a couple seconds away from a good marmot area where we can look across the creek at that tree where those motts like to sun themselves. And here we are. All we got to do is creep up this path a little bit. Is there anybody on that tree over there? No, not on that one. What about down here on this tree? We've seen Mottis over here before. A big limb, a big limb broke off this tree. I'm looking for Mottis. I do not see any Mottis. I am looking all around. I do not see anything. See, this would be one of those days where it's kind of cold, but if you're a Mati in the sun, you might be warm. I'm not seeing any Mots, though. So we'll just keep on walking. Oh, where could my marmots be? Not around here. So we'll head up the trail a ways and see what's going on up here. Oh, there's a log that's got some old polypores on it. Nothing, no fresh growth though. Too cold. And you know what else? I'm going to have to get me a pair of gloves or mittens if I'm going to do shows outdoors when it's this cold. Because my hand, the hand that I have to use to hold the equipment, gets a little bit cold. Oh, the good news is there's nobody else out here. And so we're not going to run into any bicyclists or anything. And now we've got kind of a walk ahead of us. So why don't we take this time so I can tell you about a movie that I watched last night. Another Tobe movie review coming your way. Last night, I watched the film Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. And I didn't know what to expect going into it. I didn't know anything about the movie other than Michael Cera is in it. And I thought, okay, well, sometimes he's funny when he's not being a nebbish. Maybe I'll watch it and see what's going on. And so, I watched it. And what was this movie about? It's about Michael Cera's character who has broken up with his girlfriend, played by Alexis Zaina, who I think is a cute little patoot. And he's a musician, and he has broken up with his girlfriend, but he keeps running into her at gigs because he's in a band, and she shows up. And eventually he meets Nora, a girl who goes to his girlfriend's school, and they get along. And this film takes place all in one night as they have to deal with two things. They're looking for their favorite band, who is playing somewhere in town, but they know not where. And they also have to find Nora's girlfriend, who is drunk and being a dumb girl and is lost and needs to be found. Now, was the movie funny? I didn't particularly think so. I don't know if this movie was supposed to be a comedy or a drama or a romance story. I mean, I can see where there's some parts where they were trying to make it funny, but it just didn't really appeal to my sense of humor. I might have a strange sense of humor. And so, I don't know what to think. I kind of liked the movie. Why did I like the movie? Well, I've had nights like that. There were a couple of times in my life when I had similar situations. You know, where you got somebody's drunk friend is lost and you're up until dawn trying to find somebody. Or it was just, it just seemed vaguely familiar, the whole plot. I'm standing at the Pit of Despair, looking down into the creek and all the motty holes. I don't see any motts. Is mott season over? It could be. Where's my motties? But back to the movie. When I say the plot was familiar, I don't mean it was familiar in a bad way, in that, oh, I've seen this before. When I say the plot seemed familiar, I mean it was familiar in the sense that, oh, some of these things have happened to me before. Whoa, what's that? I heard something going in the leaves. Oh, that's too fast for a mott. That was a squirrel. No, my God, no. It is a motty. There's a motty. He's about 10 yards away from me. I'm going to see if I can get around this tree. Yes, there he is. Hi, Matti. He's very close. He's right at the edge of the creek. And he's very attentively paying attention to me now. Hi, Matti. I was just saying we weren't going to see any Mattis. And now we are seeing a Matti. Oh, he's just still hanging out right there. Just sitting there looking at me with his head cocked to the side a little bit. Thinking, hey, who's this guy? I'm the guy who comes to see you, Matti. Oh, he's right there. He's so nice. And I'm trying to remember, is there a den right there? I think there is. It hasn't been used in forever, but maybe he's clearing it out. Maybe that's going to be his overwintering den. I see you, Matti. Yes, oh, he's so nice, that Matti. He's just sitting there. I wonder if I can just keep walking. Yeah, from this angle, he's well camouflaged up against that log. He's kind of by a log hiding. But we'll get back to that Mott in a second. I want to go up here and see if these logs still have puffballs on them. And there's a lot of leaves. Lots of leaves are down. And lots of leaves are trying to cover the puffballs. But the puffs, they're all still here. I'm going to poke one with my key, see if it'll puff. Yes. Oh, and the puffs are puffing. Yeah, I'm poking the puffballs. And the spores are coming out. It looks like light brown smoke. Oh yes, and here's all these puffballs over here. On this log back here. Wow, just puffballs, puffballs everywhere. Wow, and here's some fresh ones on the side of this tree. Geez, those have sprouted in the last week or so. But there's also some old ones on this tree. Wow. And my fingers are getting frozen, so I'm going to turn around here. The puffballs are a-puffing, and it's nice and windy, so I'm going to poke these puffballs some more, get some spores out, get those spores all over the place. Grow some more puffballs, get those spores out. All right, let's go back here and see if this Mott is still sitting right here. And the sun is at such a bad angle. Where's my Matti? Yep, there he is. He's still hanging out over there. I see you, Matti Mott. How are you? Are you having a good day? It's nice and chilly today. It's very cold out here. My hand is freezing. I need gloves, Matti. That Matti says, well, I don't need gloves. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Matti, I gotta go. My hand is getting cold. Okay, everybody wave at the Matti. Bye-bye, Matti. I see you. You look so nice. See you later. Oh, I'm so glad I saw the marmot. He's very nice. All right, but my hand is getting cold. So I'm walking back. My hand is getting frighteningly cold. I'm just glad we saw the marmot. Came out here to see a marmot, and we saw one in a moderately unusual place. So that's good, and I will remember, hey, what is this den being used to? No, I saw a bare spot by an old Matti hole, and I had to check it out there. Ooh, I gotta switch hands. My hand is about to cramp up into a claw-like position. Yes, one Matti on a cold day. That's good. I like Motts. So, the movie. I would say it's definitely worth watching once. It's sort of cute in that, oh look, it's two kids maybe about to have romance sort of thing. The music. This is a very music-driven film. I mean, it's about a guy in a band who's looking for a band that's playing. And there's a lot of talk about music. And there's a lot of music being played. Now, strangely enough, well, not really, but this isn't my music. This isn't music that I'm particularly interested in. It all seemed a little bit whiny to me, but what are you gonna do? It's a love movie. Of course, the music's gonna be whiny. Is it getting colder? But if you can tolerate the music, and it's tolerable, it's not the worst music you've ever heard, it's kind of okay. It was lost on me though, because I didn't know any of it. I did not recognize any of the songs except for one or two of the songs that were used as ringtones. I recognized those songs because they were old, but I did not recognize any of the music in the soundtrack or the score. Although I think the score was done by Mark Mothersbaugh. I don't know. But anyway, it was an interesting movie visually, since it, you know, all takes place in one night. So it's, you know, nighttime in New York, and, you know, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's still people just walking around on the street. So that was an interesting aspect to it. And there was a couple of location shots. So, you know, look, we're in New York. Yeah, I get it. But it was... I don't want to say it was a bad movie, because it wasn't bad. It just was one of those sort of movies that was indie flavored. I don't know if it was actually done by a major studio, but it had that independent film kind of feel to it. Even though, you know, it was just loaded with, you know, people who are stars, like Michael Cera, and Nora is played by Kat Dennings, you know, the two broke girls chick. Who I find to be, well, I was going to say annoying, but now that I think about it, I don't find her annoying so much as I find her character on her television show annoying. Because, oh look, I'm sassy and I'm a sarcastic waitress. Yeah, that's not a stereotype or anything. But she was actually good in this movie, because that was not the character she needed to play. And so I just sort of... I don't know. Her performance was tolerable. It was better than it could be. I mean, it could have been much worse. And Michael Cera is, of course, just Michael Cera. You can never tell. Is he acting or is he just playing himself in everything that he does? You'll never know. And there was lots of cameos from other famous people. Andy Samberg had a cameo. And Jay Baruchel had a small part. Speaking of nebbishes. But strangely enough, he was sort of tolerable too, because he was playing a different sort of character. He wasn't, you know, nebbishing out. So... it was kind of tolerable. Okay, here comes the big wind. Wow, that's cold. Okay. Now I'm officially getting cold. I can see my car from here, but we're still about a minute away. So, on the Tobe scale, I would rate Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist I would give it 6 marmots. And I don't know what the range of this scale is, so I can't tell you how good that is. but I kind of liked it. It was fun. Will I be watching it multiple times? Oh, unlikely. But it was worth watching one time. All right, here we go. Back to my car. My hand is frozen. Into the car we go. Oy yaga. Okay, well, how much time do we have left? About 10 minutes. I guess we're going home. So, it's going to take me about 5 minutes, but to you it'll only seem like 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. And we're back in the studio with Hello Kitty. And a large cup of tea. Oh, yeah. Delicious tea. And my hand is slowly starting to thaw. Ooh, it was cold. It actually didn't seem like it was all that cold except for the wind. You know, if there would have been no wind, it would have been very tolerable. But that's the only part of me that's cold, is my one exposed hand. So, oh boy, now we know that 40 degrees is probably a little bit too cold to go outside for any extended period of time. So, now what are we doing? Nothing. I checked my mail. There was nothing in my mailbox. I don't know if that means the mailman hasn't come yet or what. And as I sit here checking my email, I got no emails either. So that's interesting. I'm wondering if I need to make some phone calls today. No. I don't think so. Well, maybe that just means I need to get back to this little project that I have sitting right here from last night. What am I working on? Well, the other day my kitchen timer died. And it's just a cheap, from the dollar store, electronic timer. It's got a stop-start button and a minutes and seconds button, and it counts down from as high as 99 minutes and 99 seconds, and then it beeps. And I use it to remind me to do things. But it died. And this is the type of thing that's just disposable. This is disposable electronics, because although it does have a little battery panel, and you can take the panel off and you can replace the battery, it takes a small watch battery, just a tiny little button cell. I don't even know what type of battery it takes. But the battery itself, if you wanted to just buy just one, costs much more than a dollar. So it's just cheaper to go out and buy a new timer. So instead, I decided to hack this timer. So the first thing I did was, you know, take the dead battery out and solder a couple wires to the battery contacts so I can use a AA battery. And then the other thing I did was I soldered a wire to the piezo element's positive terminal so that I can, you know, have an external signal, and it works. If I take one of these spare batteries I have all these dead AA batteries lying around that aren't totally dead, and let's see if I can do all these things and talk about it at once. I got to hold the wires up against the battery. There we go. And now I've got a timer, so I can set it for 3 seconds and push the start button, and it'll count down from 3 and then give me an alarm. 1, 2, 3. And now it's beeping. So, what am I going to do with this? Well, I have no idea. I thought, you know, maybe I'll need a countdown timer for something, and then I'll, you know, get a signal out of it from the piezo, and then I'll use it to turn something on or to start something. I just haven't decided what that thing is going to be that needs to be countdown timed started. You know what I'm saying? And the other thing I need to do is make some kind of interface for this, because the signal that comes off this wire, and I had to drill a hole in the face of the case to feed the wire out of, so it looks kind of hacky, if you know what I'm saying. But the signal isn't very strong, and it's weak, and it's, you know, momentary. And the timer will eventually stop on itself, on its own, by itself. So I need to make a latch. I need to get a couple of transistors and hook them up to this signal wire so that when it beeps, it activates the latch and closes the latch and turns whatever I want it to turn on. So that's simple enough if I can only remember how to make a latch. I need two transistors. I need an NPN transistor and a PNP transistor. Just looking around on this table, I don't seem to have any transistors. I used to have some 2222s up here, but I took those all downstairs. So I don't even know what transistors I've got. I'm sure I've got a pair that I can use. Let's see, can I get this thing back on again? Turn this thing back on. There it goes. Nope. Come on. There we go. So I gotta get transistors. And that works real nice. But like I said, do I remember how to make a latch? I need two transistors and a couple of resistors. And maybe we need to look this up online right now. So I will just type in transistor latch circuit. And I'll let that do some searching. And I will find myself a schematic diagram for making a latch. Okay, so the results are how to build a latch circuit with transistors. The push-on, push-off transistor switch. Hack a week. Simple latch circuit diagram with transistors. In electronics, latch circuit is a circuit which locks its output when a momentary input trigger signal is applied and retains that state even after the input trigger signal is gone. Yeah, so let's click on how to build a latch circuit with transistors. In this project, we teach you how to build a latch with transistors. And here's a lovely website called Learning About Electronics. And this particular article is entitled Latch Circuit with Transistors. And here we go. It has pulled up a lovely little, well, actually this is a visual diagram. Oh, there's a schematic down here lower, down the page. Okay. That's good news. So it seems to me like I need a PNP and an NPN, and I think I've got a 2906 and whatever the matching transistor for that is. I can't remember what it is. I can use that, and I'm going to need a couple of resistors. What are these for? Oh, these are just biasing resistors. Okay, no problem. All right, it's all sort of coming back to me, and just in time, too. Just in time for me to tell you that you have been listening to the Dubious Latch Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. I gotta start building some electronic stuff. I don't know what I'm going to use this for, but I'm sure I'll tell you all about it once this project is complete. My name's Tobe, and I'm out of here, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
ロー This is DJ クーマタ